All
Start
right.
the. Well, hey, good morning, everybody. Thanks for taking time out of your day. Happy Friday to all, and I'm glad to have you here. Today, for the Azure Power Lunch, we're going to be talking about how to move a VM from on-premises into Azure. While we know that Azure is really great at letting us spin up workloads very quickly, a lot of times we have stuff that's already on-premises, and we know we want to get the goodness of Azure, but how do we make that move? A lot of the documentation that's out there talks about how do we move a generalized VM, but in this case, we're going to be talking about how do I move a specialized VM, a machine that's already provisioned, and I kind of just want to lift and shift that workload into Azure. So hopefully that'll apply for everybody here. I'm Andy Engel. I'm an Azure Technology Specialist based out of St. Louis. I've been in IT and technology for over 22 years. I've been in consulting roles, architectural roles, technical sales roles, and right now I'm having a blast working with Azure infrastructure. When I'm not doing that, I like to run, and I like to fiddle with a soldering iron and an oscilloscope. So I'm an aspiring maker as well. So glad to be here and get to play with these exciting toys. Today for our time together, it's always good with Azure constantly changing and things always improving and new things becoming available to get an update of what's coming around the corner and what's released. Then we'll dive into today's topic and I'll walk you guys through how to do a migration, and then we'll take some time out to point you to some additional resources and answer any questions that are out there. So first of all, let's dive in on the services updates. The first thing I want to make sure folks are aware of is that there is a lot more new information out there than we could possibly share with you, even in the 30 minutes that we've got for today's call. So this deck will be made available to you guys, but there are three links there for the blog, for the update site, and the roadmap. Before we take a look at those, I do want to show you guys what those resources provide. I do want to call out a couple of recent updates that are relevant to even what we're talking about today. First, we're launching some new VM families. So we've had the D series for quite a while, but we're releasing version 3 of the D series, and also the E series, which is our memory intensive SKUs. We're releasing new versions of those. So essentially, the D series you can think of as the general purpose. Hey, I just need a machine. I need kind of balanced processing power and memory. D is where you want to look. If you have something that's high memory workload, then you look to the E series. That's where we get a lot more memory than compute horsepower. And what we're introducing with this V3 series is hyperthreading and up to 64 virtual CPUs per VM, depending on which SKU you choose. And then if you look at that E series, we're taking you all the way up to 432 gigs of memory available in that SKU if you need it. So if you folks have SAP workloads, looking to run SAP HANA or other memory intensive workloads like that, this is exactly where we're targeted. We've got the VM for you there. And with security always being on everybody's mind, Azure Key Vault has been around for quite a while. So it's important to know that you've got the ability to manage those keys. But we're giving you the ability, number one, to keep your storage keys in Key Vault, and also enabling auto rotation. So historically, the ability to rotate keys, has kind of been a three-step process. Move a key out, move a new key in, use an old key. But here, we give you the ability to automate that rotation process. That capability is in public preview now, but it's going to let you do that automatic renewal and rotation of those keys. Because quite honestly, not even on Azure, but anybody who's managed keys knows sometimes a fumble with that key management can lead to an outage that nobody wants to have. So this gives us tools to manage that capability. I want to jump over to my desktop real quick and just show you guys the resources that are available to help us stay on top of all the changes in Azure. Suraj, let me know when you can see my desktop, please.
Yes, I can see your desktop now.
All right. So guys, one of the links that I've got on the slide here is the Azure Updates page. Not too hard to get to. Go to azure.microsoft.com, Updates, and you'll see that this gives us kind of a running log of everything that's changing in Azure. And these are all changes, big and small. So you'll see that sometimes it's the capability of like Logic Apps now being available in the UK regions, or Azure Backup being available in Korea. So a lot of the times this is an existing service that's made available into new regions for Azure. And then sometimes you'll also see net new capabilities being released to Azure globally. And what's nice is this is filterable, so you can dive into specific areas of interest on this update list. So you can find out specific product areas you're interested in, what kind of an update it is, and what platform we're on. Now, this is a good place to start because it also has those other links that I referenced. So you can see that it will jump out to the Azure Roadmap and the Azure Blog. Quite frankly, the Azure Blog is the one I keep an eye on all the time, because this is the one that the program managers from the Azure team actually come out to, and you'll see this is where they post their articles. So you can see, hey, what are all the Azure updates that these guys are posting about? And you get a little more narrative explaining what the change is and why it's relevant. And then looking forward, the Azure Roadmap is always good to keep an eye on, because you can see, hey, there's something I really want or an enhancement that I'm waiting for, and this lets you know when is it going to come. When can we expect to see that capability added to or enhanced within the Azure platform? So hopefully that gives everybody some resources you can dig in on. Let me jump back to the slides real quick, and we can dig in on our topic for the day. All right. You seeing slides, Suraj?
Yes.
All right. So digging in on our topic for today, how do we take a VM that we've got running happily on premises, but we want to get the ability to move it to Azure for cost controls, for scalability, for elasticity, for any number of the reasons that you want to move to a public cloud? And one of the wonderful things about Azure is that there are many ways to do all the things that you want to do. For instance, when migrating VMs, there are automated ways to do it. Let's say you want to take an entire series of machines and move those up, or you know that you want to take an entire co-location site and you want to move that into Azure. Well, that's when I would look at something like Azure Site Recovery, which gives you the ability to extract Hyper-V VMs, VMware VMs, to move those things in an automated fashion up to Azure. Well, Azure Site Recovery is an awesome tool for doing that. And then, of course, our great partners have tools that help you do that as well. Well, my propeller was spinning a little faster than normal when I decided I wanted to do this topic. And I decided it would be a good idea for us to dig in on the manual process. How do we do this by hand? Maybe we've got one off virtual machine that we want to move up there, or maybe we want to just see the process that's involved. So that's what we're going to look at today. And what's nice about it is it shows us how this happens under the covers. Even these automated tools, this is the way that they're going to do that. They just usually give us a nice GUI or a script that's going to walk us through the process. So that's what we're going to look into. And then at the bottom there, you'll see a link to an article, and that will actually take you through this process of doing that. Now, an important thing that I mentioned at the top of our discussion today was specialized versus generalized. If you've ever built a generalized VM, you know, it's the process of you build your VM, you deploy your OS, and then you can generalize that OS through sysprep, and basically it removes your keys and any specializations that you've done to that and gets it ready for fresh deployment somewhere else. Well, we don't always want to do that. Sometimes we just want to keep it as is and move that, and that's the process we're going to go through today. So the process to go through this is just a few steps, and we'll look at those. The first, we've got to prepare that VHD for migration. While we're not going to generalize it, we're not going to sysprep it, there are some things we need to keep in mind as part of the migration. First, especially if we're on Hyper-V, most of us that are deploying new Hyper-V workloads today are going to deploy into Generation 2 and VHDX disk models. Those aren't supported in Azure, so we need to make sure, number one, that we've got a Gen 1 VM, and number two, we can convert our VHDX down to a VHD disk type. Then we upload that to Azure. Now, I'm not going to make you guys endure that process today, because that depends on the speed of your upload link. But once you do that, it's a simple PowerShell command to move that disk up into Azure, put it into a storage account, and then you can work with it there natively. Then, since managed disks are now widely available and they are the most recommended way to manage disks for your VMs, we're going to create a managed disk out of that VHD. So we're going to upload it just as a VHD blob, but then we're going to convert that into a managed disk. Then if you need to, and I say if needed here because a lot of times folks already have a subnet set up, already have a VNet set up that they want this VM to land in. But if you don't, I'm going to show you guys quickly how you can spin up a virtual network for that. And then once you've got that disk in place, it's just a matter of kind of cobbling together the VM that you want, assigning it to that disk, and then spinning it up. And then, of course, once we do anything like this, we want to go through a verification and a test process. So having walked through the process, let's kind of dig in. And I hope folks are comfortable with PowerShell. And if you're not, don't be afraid. PowerShell is not nearly as fearsome as some seem to think. As a matter of fact, kind of once you get your head wrapped around it, it's a great tool for getting these things done. There's also a great, out on Microsoft Academy, a great course that walks you through PowerShell, so how to get these tasks done. Siraj, you see in my desktop all right? You see PowerShell?
Yes, I can see now.
All right, thanks. So guys, you'll see here in PowerShell, I'm logged into my account. I'm going to use the resource manager model because, again, that's just the recommended way folks are doing things today. And I've already logged into my subscription. Now, if you've got more than one subscription assigned to your account, know that you can, if you wanted to, you could get a list of subscriptions that are available to your account just by running that PowerShell command there, get Azure RM subscription. And you know all of the subscriptions because, or you know that all of these commandlets are specific to Resource Manager because they've got that RM in there for Resource Manager. So first thing I said we needed to do is we need to convert that disk. So we'll see here, that I've got two disks. I've also spared you guys the process of watching me convert that VHDX and done that. But to give you an idea of the process involved, you simply just use the convert VHD commandlet, and then you give it the path to the disk that you want to convert. And in this case, I've got just a workbench VM. It's a VM with a bunch of Azure resources and tools deployed on it that you can use kind of as a jump box within your Azure environment. You give it the path to the old VHDX that you want to convert, and then you can give it the destination path, and we'll convert that to a VHD. Now, in this case, I said I'm not going to make you guys go through the process, but know that you can always tack on that what if, and it checks the command to make sure that it would run and tells you what would have happened. And in this case, what it goes through is just the process of converting that over and creating the new file there. Now, after we do that, we've got it ready to go. We want to move it up into the Azure environment. Now, we can also use some PowerShell commands to kind of get the lay of the land within our Azure environment. So we're always going to need a resource group. Oh, don't type resource twice. We're going to need a resource group to deploy into so we can get a list of all of our resource groups. I'm not very original, so I've created one here for us called Power Lunch. And we also want to have a storage account to move things into, and we can get a list of our storage accounts that are available too. And again, you see that I continue to be unoriginal, and PL migration for PowerLunch migration in this case. Now, one of the best practices I like to use when I'm working in PowerShell is store things into variables as much as I can. And the reason for that is, number one, when I run a commandlet and it gives me a result, obviously I can dump that into a variable. But even if it's a simple thing like a text string, I like to do that so that I don't fat finger it down the road, so that I remain consistent in the way that I've named things. And in this case, let's go ahead and store our resource group name, and we'll call it PowerLunch. So we've got that stored, and we know we're going to need a location. A lot of times, since we have the benefit in Azure of deploying to a lot of different regions, I'm going to do everything I can here in the South Central US data center, or the South Central region. So once we've got those set up, we also know that we need a URI, or I'm old school, I think of it as a URL, to store things in. We're going to need somewhere to park our disk. Now, in that case, you can really take a look kind of at the ID of that storage account that I got there. That's going to show us where to store things. Or you can take a look in your Azure dashboard is really the easiest way to do it. And if you jump over here and we look at our resources, you'll see that I've got that migration storage account. And if we drill down into here, we can see that we've got our blobs stored here, and our VHDs are in a container. And then if you look at the properties for that container, you'll see that it gives you the URL you can use within that. So from here, you can copy that. Now you'll see that, like Julia Child, I've already got one in the oven to show you guys, again, because I don't want to make you wait 3 hours while that thing uploads over my my broadband connection. But jumping back in, that's when we say, all right, my disk URI is going to be here. And then I'm also going to call it workbenchos.vhd. So we're ready to go, and that's when we're going to run the process to add this to our storage account. So the PowerShell commandlet is add Azure RMVHD. So add the VHD up. We're going to give it our resource group name. Whoops. And since we've started using variables, we can make sure we get that correct. Our destination is our disk URI. Our local file path. And here we just point it to the VHD that we've got right here. Now, I promised I'm not going to make you guys watch that. But what it will go through is the process, number one, of generating a hash for the VHD. Then it will go through uploading it, and then it will check that hash to make sure that the upload was done correctly. So since I've already uploaded one, we'll just move on from there. So the nice thing is we've already got the disk converted. We've got the disk moved up into Azure at this point, into a storage account. Now the next step we've got to do is convert that to a managed disk. Now, as I said, that's the recommended way to do things. Managed disks gives us a lot of benefits for running workloads within the cloud. Obviously, you could attach to that VHD if you wanted to, but let's go ahead and do things the right way. So again, using our variables, disk name, let's go ahead and just call this our Workbench OS disk. Then we go through the process of creating a disk config, and that's going to help us kind of cobble together or assemble the parameters around the disk that we want to use. So we'll create a new Azure RM disk config, and we just give it some details around, all right, how do we want this disk to be provisioned? In this case, let's use a standard local account. Location, well, we already know we've got that stored in a variable. Create option tells us basically how do we want to create that managed disk. And in this case, we have the benefit of importing it. And our source URI, we're going to give it our disk URI. So again, this is the command. We're just going to say create this new disk config, use these parameters, and then store that object back into that variable. So we've got that set up. And then from there, we create the disk itself. So we say new Azure RM disk, and it's not disk config this time. We're actually creating the disk. The disk name, the disk config. And another beauty is tab completion. Helps me keep from fat fingering the keys there. What's it telling me? Oh, you can't use a hyphen there. Got to use an equal sign. All this talk about fat fingering got inspired. So this goes through the process of taking that VHD blob that we've uploaded and the disk config and converting them into a managed disk within our Azure environment. So if we jump back over to our dashboard, keep an eye on things. Now, while we're waiting for that, Siraj, are there any questions?
Yes, there were two questions. So one was from Jeff, that what are some good third-party tools for converting to VHD? And I think Sanjeev answered that. That's a Commvault, Veeam, and Symantec. And there was another question that, what about ESX to VHD?
So we have the ability using Azure Site Recovery to extract the VMware images. So you can do that. I'm not sure if the third-party tools support that, but I suspect they do as well. In this case, we're just doing a direct VHD.
All right. So,
Thanks for those questions. And good timing, because that was just enough to let us see that now in our dashboard here, we've got our managed disk has appeared. So the provisioning of that has worked out. So we're getting close here. The next thing we need to do is create a VNet. Like I said, you guys may already have a virtual network in your Azure environment. In case you haven't done this, I just want to quickly run through the process to show you guys. In Azure, every virtual network has to have at least one subnet. It can be the entire virtual network if you want. So we're going to take the easy way out and do that here today. And we'll just call it PL subnet one. So we've got a name. And now we go through the process of creating that subnet. So we will follow the standard PowerShell pattern of, whoops, not disk. This is one of my favorite ones because it almost word wraps. Make sure I type that correctly. Yeah, new Azure Virtual Network Subnet Config, correct. And then we just go through the process like we've seen before, of giving it the parameters it needs to get set up. Now, when you do a subnet, anybody that's done networking knows, we got to let it know what our prefix is going to be. In this case, we'll just use one of the easy ones. Oh, what did we do wrong here? Standard mistake there. Forgot my RM. That's the problem being around too long. All right. So now that we've got our subnet, let's create our virtual network itself. So our VNet name, and we'll call that Power Lunch VNet. And then let's create the network itself. Again, you guys probably don't have to go through this process if you've already got VNets up in Azure. You can reuse one of those. But we'll go through the process here just for... Somebody off mute, was there a question? All right. And then we give it our VNet prefix too. So I know it's a lot of typing, and PowerShell is a little bit intense, but a lot of times it's good because we can see all the individual pieces that are going into putting this together. Again, a lot of this is automatable. You could even do this with an ARM template if you wanted to make this process easier. A lot of times folks ask, they say, hey, that warning pops up. What does that mean? And it's essentially the product team letting us know that, hey, we're going to modify this commandlet in the future, which is exactly what the error says. But it lets you know, hey, keep an eye on this because at some point we may change things that will be breaking changes to some of the scripts that are out there. So this is going through the process of actually provisioning the virtual network for us. So it'll put the subnet up, it'll put the VNet up, and it'll provision that for us as well. From here, you could even go through the process of setting up a load balancer. You could set up a network security group if you want. But just like we needed, we've got our VNet provision now in our dashboard. Now we've got to go ahead and set up the networking adapter that's going to connect our VM to this. So first thing we'll need is an IP address to work with for this. Now you can go through the process of doing this and you can keep it private. If you've got a VPN to this or an ExpressRoute connection into your virtual network, then you don't necessarily need to go through the process. You can let the thing dynamically get an address on your private range. In this case, we're gonna give it a public IP just because make it easier to get to. So in this case, our public IP, we'll go through the process of provisioning a new Azure public IP address. We use our IP name. Our location. And again, almost always you have to give it a location and resource group name here because you got to queue Azure in to where you want these resources to be provisioned within the environment. And then once we've got that, we would let it know, all right, how do we want our allocation to be done? In this case, we'll just let it be dynamic. So a dynamic public address for this machine. And once we get the IP object created, so essentially it goes out and creates that resource for you in the Azure environment, provisions that public IP to be dynamically allocated for you. The next step we'll see is that we're going to then create the NIC, the virtual network card that's going to connect the VM into the environment. Sometimes I wonder how many hamsters have to be spun up to get these things done. Takes a while. There we go. To get done, and we're back. All right, now let's go ahead and get that NIC going. And we'll just be really original. Call it our workbench NIC. And let's create that. Give it our nickname, our resource group name, our location, just like I promised. Then we got to tell it what subnet we want this NIC to be attached to. In this case, it's not super easy. While we do have the virtual network stored in a variable, it actually wants to know what subnet it's going to be stored on. So we'll essentially tell it, all right, the first subnet that's returned from there, and we got to give it the ID. And then we got to tell it, what is our public IP address ID that we want to use? That's why we went through the process of creating that public IP above, storing it in PIP, and then returning the ID here. So here we go out and provision the virtual network object. So we basically got everything set up. And if you're like me and you worked in a computer store in college, you think of this as the process of getting all these pieces on the bench, and now we can actually put the PC together. Let's build this machine and provision it. So now let's build the machine. Sorry, I had to get a drink there. All right, our VM name, we'll call this guy Workbench. And then kind of like we had to do before, we got to build the configuration or set up the parameters around the VM before we actually provision it. So in this case, new Azure RM VM config. This essentially creates a configuration object in Azure that gives you all the parameters, all the configuration specifics around building that VM. So things like, what's our VM name going to be? Well, we know that because we've already got a VM name variable. Then we got to tell it what size we want. And this is where you can choose which of the sizes out of the Azure catalog. So before we were talking about the E series and the D series. Well, in this case, let's just go right down the middle, go with a basic standard A2 machine. Now, once that creates that object, we can tack other things onto it to give it more specifics about how the VM is going to be created. In this case, just a sec. Oh, sorry, I got a frog in my throat there. We're going to go ahead and then modify that VM config object and assign it to a VM itself. So what we're going to do is add the network interface to it and tell it which VM we're going to use, that VM config we just created. And which NIC are we going to add to it? Well, we've only created one NIC today, so we're going to use that one and pass that ID in as well. All right, then let's modify our VM object a little bit more. And here is kind of the money here. Got to give it our disk. And again, that's that disk we moved up that's already got the OS in it. It's already got all the provisioning done and all the configuration in it that we want. But here we go through the process of giving it our managed disk ID. And this is, if you go all the way back up, the OS disk that we created earlier. There's the ID. And then what storage account do we want to use? Storage account type, locally redundant. How big do we want the disk to be? Let's go for 128. Create option. This is where we specify, right? How do we want to use that VHD? Do we want to spin up a new one, or do we want to attach one that's already out there? And then also we want to clue Azure into what we're provisioning here. Is it a Linux VM? Is it a Windows VM? How does that actually work? So there, we've got our object. Our VM object has been completely assembled. We've given it a disk. We've given it a network card that already knows, or a network adapter that already knows what subnet, what network to be on. We've got a name. We've got a size. we're essentially ready to go ahead and trigger that VM build. And that's where we go through the process here of creating new Azure RM VM. This is actually the action step that will put it in our resource group for us. And our location. And then, seems pretty small, but this is where all the payload is and the VM. Now, this warns us that since we're using premium storage, which is going to keep everything kind of outside, if you remember what managed disks provide, that kind of moves that whole disk concept out of a storage account. Well, if you've got diagnostics and boot logging turned on, we've still got to have somewhere to store that data so we can get our screenshots or we can get our log entries or we can get our statistics around that VM itself. Well, right here, it's just warning us, hey, we're going to go ahead and use a storage account that you gave us because that's where we need to park that stuff as well. Now, you'll see that this can take a while, that actually cobbling these things together and provisioning that will take a while. I'm not going to make you guys go through that process, but if you keep an eye on it, eventually it will return, and in your dashboard, you'll see that all of these resources that we provision spin up, and eventually we'll get that VM here as well. So I know we're a little bit over time, guys. I apologize for that. Had to walk you through that process. But hopefully now you've got a better idea of the steps involved in manually provisioning a virtual machine within Azure and moving that over from an existing OS. And now you kind of understand behind the scenes what's going on. And if you needed to do it, you can do it. But also, any of the automated tools are going to use that same process as well. So before I cut you guys loose, let me point you towards some additional resources. Get that slide deck up here. Is that advancing for you, Siraj?
I can see demo slide, Andy.
All right, it won't move for me.
So, while Andy is moving to the next slide, I would like to thank you all for joining this call. And I have pasted the link to Channel 9 in the chat window. Seems like Channel 9 is not working right now for some reasons, but you can try it, and most likely we will be posting the presentation and the recording by end of the day or probably tomorrow. Next week, I'm going to talk about Application Insight. So stay tuned for, we'll be using same invite going forward, and we apologize for the people who did not have the latest invite. We had to change it to make some changes in the invite. So going forward, we'll be using the same invite. And we will publish the topics as well. And if you all have any questions or any feedback, I have also pasted our email address. That is azurepowerlunch@service.microsoft.com. So you can email us if you have any questions or feedback.
Yep, and we'll post that deck. It's got links to all those resources that I showed you as far as the blog, the roadmap, the updates, and then additional information around these sessions. So thanks all for your time and attention today. Any hot questions, Siraj?
I can see one last question in the chat window from James. It's what about things like installing the Azure Agent, moving the page files, anything else required?
Yep. So installing the Azure Agent, there's actually another commandlet that you can run to go ahead and enable that. I wouldn't worry about the page file. When you shut down the machine, essentially you've lost that page file. It will spin up the new one when it provisions inside the environment on that temp disk that all the VMs have.
Right.
All right. Well, thanks all for your time today.
Yep. Thank you.